The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Judy Schillinglaw about the herb lavender, and the entire show is going to be devoted to this fabulous herb. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, we have some news that's a little bit more focused on gentlemen for a change, so equal opportunity, and this is on bone health and the topic of osteoporosis, or the prevention thereof, and yes, it can be had by men as well as women. While it is often thought of as a women's illness, gentlemen, listen up. Turns out that your bone loss is probably more gradual than ours because you don't go through menopause. But one out of every four men over the age of 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis. I think a lot of people don't realize that. It's even more prevalent than prostate cancer, which we do talk about all the time. So men, you're more likely to die within a year after breaking a hip than ladies. So let's delve into this just a little bit more and see what we can learn about prevention. Are you at risk? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been treated with oral steroids for more than 3 months? Do you have rheumatoid arthritis? Are you a coffee drinker or more than 4 cups a day coffee drinker, let's say, or alcohol more than 1 drink a day for women or 2 for men, and or do you smoke? If any of those are a yes, you might be at increased risk for osteoporosis and need to talk to your doc. What are some preventative measures that we can all take to improve our bone density, men and women? Nutritionally, number one, eat enough protein, intake calcium from your foods, and intake vitamin D. Protein, why? Turns out when we increase protein in our diets, we increase calcium absorption and a natural growth factor called IGF-1, which is important for bone formation. Calcium and D strengthen bone health. I'm sure you've heard much about that in the news. And then finally, bone stressing exercise. That's probably the most important next to hormones for women more so than men. It turns out that exercise will stimulate bone formation because that bone responds by building up cells. Depending upon our age and workout regimen, be sure you check with your doctors first before you begin. One last fun fact about exercise and bone strength, jumping is the single best way to build bone density. And if okay with your doc, start jumping. Well, there you have it. Now it's time to introduce our guest. I met Judy Schillinglaw at a presentation in Lebanon, Ohio several months ago, and she just twinkled and blinked and really got my heart, and I just had to have her on the show. Judy is a master gardener. She's got a long list of experience in various clubs around the area. The Monroe Garden Club, the Association the Ohio Association of Garden Clubs, the Butler County Master Gardener Volunteer Association, and last but not least, one of my favorites, the Cox Arboretum Herbal Study Group. Welcome, Judy, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kathy.
Well, what's lavender anyway? Tell us a bit about this fabulous herb.
Lavender, the botanic name is Lavangula, and it's a genus of 39 species of flowering plants in the mint family. Basically, it grows best along the Mediterranean countries of France, Spain, and Italy. The plants are used extensively for garden and landscape use, and also commercially for the extraction of essential oils. It's a beautiful plant, and it smells good, too.
Well, you know, I planted probably 50 lavender augustifolias this summer. And I think I drowned them. I didn't realize that they are supposed to be dry. Do you think I'd read the label? I've never seen a plant that you don't have to water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this true? I mean, do they?
They do not require water.
Mm. Well, now I know.
Yeah, this is what happens. My most frequently question is, why did my lavender die? And it was from watering.
Well, next year, when I replant all those 50 plants that just died, I'm not going to water them as much.
No, they don't require water at all.
All right, Judy, how'd you get interested in this lavender, and why do you get called affectionately the Lavender Lady?
Lavender Lady. Well, my sister and I started traveling to the south of France. We had high school friends who lived in France. And once you've been to Provence and have seen the lavender fields and have shopped in all the little boutiques, I just fell in love with lavender. And I wanted to start growing it here in southwest Ohio. So I just started researching and buying, like you did. As far as the name Lavender Lady, Rita Heikenfeld gave me that name. Rita and I would see each other at garden events and always discussed growing and using lavender. So she just calls me the Lavender Lady.
May we all call you that?
Yes.
All right. Does your husband call you that?
Oh, no. He just calls me Judy.
Judy. Okay.
Usually Judith.
Oh, well, that's a distinguished name as well.
Yeah, it is.
So
he likes
Lavender Judith.
All
right, there's several types of lavender. Mm-hmm. Some are more popular. Why are they more popular? And
What I've learned from researching and growing, English lavender is the best one to grow here in southwest Ohio. You can buy French lavenders or Spanish lavenders, but they're usually a zone 8, and we're more a zone 5, and we should buy zone 5 plants. And if you do buy those other ones, just grow them and enjoy them, but plant them as an annual. Some of the good growers here for long, long stems are Grosso and Provence. And then the shorter, bushier, dark-colored plants that you can dry are Twinkle Purple. And there's a white lavender. It's very sweet. It's called Jean Davis. It's a good grower for our area.
Well, that's neat.
Good to dry.
So purple and white, lavender and white.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think the history of this plant is phenomenal and perhaps more rich than one would first imagine meeting the eye. But it actually has some roots in the Bible. And if you would permit me, I'm going to share a little bit of history.
Absolutely.
And then I want you to share some history with us. So turns out that this is kind of, we'll just say I believe this is true.
Uh-huh.
It's believed that lavender was actually taken from the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve. And that the powerful perfume or the essence came later. And according to the legend that I've read, the clothing of baby Jesus was actually bestowed of the scent when Mother Mary laid them upon a bush to dry. And this may actually explain why the plant is regarded as a holy safeguard against the evil.
Yeah. Yes, I've read that, and I do believe that.
Well, it's fascinating, and I guess in times past, in many Christian homes, the cross of lavender was hung over the door, or is.
I've seen that in France.
Really?
Absolutely, yes. Very popular.
So another, I guess, biblical historical perspective. In the Bible, lavender, I'm told, is called spikenard.
That's right.
And it was in an ointment that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet.
That's right.
And in ancient times, used by the Egyptians in the process of mummification.
Yes.
So it's got a lot of mileage.
It does. Over 2,500 years.
Yeah. What else have you uncovered about something interesting with regard to its history?
Well, it's the, of course, the mummification and perfume used by the Egyptians and Phoenicians and peoples of Arabia. And in World War I, it was used as a disinfectant for wounds, so it's powerful in that way also. And the interesting thing is the English word lavender is generally thought to have come from the Latin lavare, which means to wash. So that's some of my research that I've enjoyed.
Why do you think lavender has become such a popular herb in the United States when there are so many from which to choose?
Lavender is easy to grow, although most people don't understand it and because they do water it. It's tough. Lavender likes dry, rocky soil. It's a Mediterranean plant. It has no pests. It's drought tolerant. It grows along cement driveways and brick walls and patios, loves full sun, and it rarely needs to be watered. So don't ever plant it with impatiens or petunias because you think it'll be pretty, because from overwatering, you'll lose your lavender.
And I did. Once again, I'm so sad, but there's hope.
And always
right?
have a little slope to a hill, too, so it has good drainage.
Okay.
That will help.
Now, before we go to break, I want to talk a bit about the medicinal aspects. We'll just get into it a bit, and perhaps we'll come back and finish up after break. But this is something that I've started to research a bit more, and I'm excited to share with our listeners. So, first, the active part of the plant is what?
That's the oil that is in the leaves and the flower buds.
And there are, I guess, over 160 types of active constituents in those leaves and flowers.
Perhaps.
That's amazing. That's just absolutely amazing. So there's
it's an amazing plant.
A long list of possible other medicinal uses as we uncover more of those constituents.
Right.
I know that there's some indication that's actually German Commissionee approved, which is like our FDA approved, for the use of insomnia and relaxation.
Exactly.
Tell us more.
Well, depression. You can make sleep pillows to help you sleep. Sometimes it can relieve panic and hysteria. You can keep a sachet of lavender buds in your handbag, and I do. If I'm in a tense moment or if we're in a driving area and it's taking time, I have my little sachet with lavender. One time my sister used a lavender sachet, a crying baby in a department store, and she just brushed her sachet and pressed it very tightly, got the oil, and the baby stopped crying. So it's just, it's an amazing, amazing flower. Amazing flower.
Yes, and I've also heard that it's good for headaches, that some people make little sachet pillows for headache pillows, a little
headache
sweet.
I
love that. I love that concept.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you just get a visual? I think that would be a fabulous hostess gift to make little sachets that could be used on the tuck
under
your pillow.
They are, and I have done that. Well, I've brought sachets home from Provence. They're already in the cute little Provençal fabrics, and they're good gifts to give.
I love it.
Coming from France. They do smell good.
Excellent.
And they last a long time.
Do they?
Oh, yes. As long as you just keep pushing and pushing on those lavender buds, the scent will come back. It's taking the oil right back out of the buds. So they last a long time.
Excellent. And are you drying your own herbs in making those sachets?
I do.
Let's talk about how to do that when we come back.
Okay.
Thanks. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Judy Schillinglaw about the herb lavender. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back. And you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host. Tonight we're talking with Judy Schillinglaw about lavender, one of my favorite herbs. Well, Judy, before the break, we gave some of the medicinal effects of lavender, and we said perhaps there are some more. Let's dig into that a bit more, and then we'll talk about drying the herbs and how the different forms can be used.
Absolutely.
You know, I like the idea that lavender can be used as a tea to help us relax and go to sleep, because there is an active principle in there that impacts receptors in our brain called GABA receptors.
Oh.
Isn't this amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And why not try a tea before a sleeping pill, or even melatonin or valerian or other dietary supplements? Why not enjoy the fragrance from an aesthetic perspective, the nutritional value, as well as the medicinal value in nature's perfect remedies, if you will, in the plant kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Absolutely.
Let's get back to you and your drying experience. A lot of people may be interested in this whole notion but don't know how to start. How do you dry herbs?
Well, I cut my flowers before they bloom out. Keep them in tight bud, a purple tight bud about the size of your little finger. Cut them and hang them, rubber band them and hang them upside down to dry, and they'll stay in the bud form as they dry. But then you can brush them off. And I'll tell you how I use them. I use the flower buds, of course, for the sachets, but I make butter cookies with flowers and vinegar, a strong vinegar that you let steep. I make a syrup from sugar water and lavender flowers. And in your green salad, you could toss the flowers right in with your other pansies and other flowers that you decorate with in your salad. So it's very versatile. It's very versatile and very fun.
Well, I'm amazed at how creative you are and that this plant is in its utility.
It is. I love to share what I've learned. I love to share it.
Now, there are other forms of lavender that I've come across in some of these farmers market displays, vendor booths, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen a lot of soaps. You know, the aromatherapy, I guess one can buy like a half ounce essential oil of lavender.
Yes, you can. I know at the health food store up near the Dayton Mall, you can buy several different brands of essential oil. And then just practice with it and look it up. Use your internet, you know, look for essential oil, lavender essential oil recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. Be careful using it. It's very strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk a bit more about teas. because I'm into the tea. So let's pretend that you've just dried a bunch of lavender flowers and leaves. Let's walk through that process for our listeners. So presuming that we're going to need no more than perhaps a teaspoon or 2 teaspoons of ground dried lavender, okay? We're going to make a tea using an infuser. And we're going to boil some water, perhaps 8 ounces, and dip that infuser of a teaspoon or thereabouts.
I just use the buds.
Okay.
Because they are so strong, I don't even macerate the buds.
Okay.
I use the buds. And
how long do you steep, Judy?
I only steep it 8 to 10 minutes. It's very strong.
And do you cover that as you're steeping or leave it open?
You can cover that, yeah. Cover it. And even when I steep my syrup, I just bring it to a boil and I steep 30 minutes for the syrup and then drain off the buds.
And what are you using that syrup in?
It's just a cup of white sugar to a cup of water and a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons of lavender buds. Boil that. Set it off the stove and let it steep 30 minutes. And then you just use your colander or your strainer, let it cool. But you have to use a touch of, just a little touch of red food coloring. It's not a very pretty color. So that would give it a little pink color.
And what are you using your syrup to enhance? Are you using that as a breakfast syrup or?
The syrup can be used over pound cake. Can be used, it has a very strong lavender taste. It can be used over ice cream. And I use it to add to, a lemonade mix like Crystalite, 2-quart Crystalite. And I use the lavender syrup to give it a lavender sweet taste because Crystalite doesn't have real sugar.
Well, do you know what you and Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin have in common? I just realized this.
No.
The movie It's Complicated. Meryl makes the best lavender ice cream, according to Alec, her ex-husband. Yeah, for those of you who have seen that show, so there,
well,
there you go.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's cute.
But when you use lavender, you in these various forms that I've just been talking about, you can really taste the lavender. It's not overpowering, but you know that you have lavender flowers. You know it. You can taste it.
Again, I just it's a very creative, versatile approach to one plant with multiple reasons to indulge and multiple forms to enjoy. So it's not boring by any stretch.
It's an enjoyable plant, yes.
And hardy and perennial and something
and
that
therapy.
We should... Yeah, therapy. Let's talk about a little bit, just for fair balance, with regard to side effects or contraindications. You've said this is a pretty powerful oil, and I understand, too, it could be a powerful allergen. And again, from the mint family, not recommended to be ingested during pregnancy or breastfeeding.
No.
And I would say in general, and this is the pharmacist in me speaking, let's just flat stay away from herbs and supplements unless doctor recommends during pregnancy and breastfeeding, just to be on the safe side.
There's too many allergies that... We don't even know we're sure that we have, but you have to be very careful.
Right. There are some antioxidant constituents in lavender, so that's another positive from a nutritional perspective. Do you think there's going to be a place for more and more blooms or flowers edibly in the nutritional world, including lavender as time goes on?
Yes. In fact, I do another program on edible flowers. I've really studied them, and it's a great garden club program. I enjoy doing that.
I think many people, when they see, for
they
example,
don't think about eating flowers.
No, when one sees an orchid presented on top of the salad, it's just, oh, that's beautiful, and they fish around it. But truly, and not I understand not all orchids are edible, but it's a different concept, and I think it's fabulous and probably very healthy for us.
Monday, I took red hibiscus flowers, dried hibiscus flowers, and I made tea with Truvia and took it to Garden Club. it was so refreshing and so pretty.
Mm.
So that's another good idea.
Keep on the theme of teas for me for a moment. What other flowers or herbs complement lavender if we wanted to put those in our tea?
Well, I do. The lemon verbena is my favorite. And let's see, I can't think of the other flowers that would complement lavender except the lemon. I can't think of any other herb flowers that I would put with lavender.
So it's strong enough in its own regard,
mm-hmm.
that it sort of carries the day, if you will,
in its
taste.
And I think I'm just going to say just the lemon, and then verbena.
All right. Excellent. Well, I guess now that we're more well-versed in lavender after listening to you, and you've just done an outstanding job of taking us through the lavender journey, I'm going to do a play on letters. Since you're called the Lavender Lady, what's your lavender legacy going to be?
I'm sure it's going to be all of the handouts that I have given at every garden club and every garden organization. I always leave them with a wonderful handout of how to grow, what to be careful of. I leave recipes, and they have that. They have that to take home from every meeting. It sort of wraps up what I have just told them.
That's your gift of love.
It is. My gift, my love of lavender.
Well, and you've been a lovely lavender lady with a legacy on your holistic health tonight. And it's time to wrap up our show. Thanks, Judy, for being our guest.
Thanks, Dr. Kathy. I enjoyed it.
You'll have to come back soon.
All right.
All right, we're going to wrap up with the quote of the week. And tonight it's by Martin H. Fisher. And it has something to do with prescription medications, although I swear I never talk about them, but here we go. And I quote, "Half of the modern drugs could well be thrown out the window, except that the birds might eat them," end quote. Food for thought, pun intended. Thanks again to our guest, Judy Schillinglau, the Lavender Lady, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com. for a free library of health-related articles written just for you. Please tune in again next week at the same time to hear Andrew Poudoua talk about the positive power of listening to music. On the next edition of Your Holistic Health, you are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.